Good evening. I sure do appreciate these song leaders and all the songs that they lead. And a lot of times, especially Aaron and others, many others as well, will always try to coordinate some or most of the songs to what we're talking about. And I don't think it was coincidence that he led Angry Words to begin with. That third verse really stood out there. Angry words are lightly spoken. Bitterest thoughts are rashly stirred. We're talking tonight about bitterness. I've been joking and picking on a sweet young lady of this congregation, and I have, of course, just been doing so in all, jesting and joking. But I wanted to talk about this subject because our theme, not because she asked me to or that was just a coincidence, but not because I feel like the congregation is bitter or that she's bitter, but because our theme for this year is kindness. We've been talking about from time to time, and some lessons have been devoted solely to kindness, and others have been connected to it, and this is one of those. As we continue to think about the importance of being kind to one another, as we're evangelizing and showing our love to others, and kindness is key in 2015, right? And so this subject of bitterness is interestingly contrasted very often in the Bible with kindness. To have bitterness in one's heart is to lead or motivate one to be the opposite of kind and to say angry words, to use them, to act differently, to act out in a way that a Christian should not. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. If there was a lesson text or one verse that would surmise the topic tonight, it would be Hebrews 12 and verse 15. The Hebrew writer says, "Looking diligently, lest any should fail of the grace of God." How might I do that, Hebrew writer? He goes on to say, "Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you." We've got that picture again, that usage of a root here. And thereby, he says, many be defiled. It could be that there are roots of bitterness that spring up within us, and before long they take over us and cause us to act out. Right? What is bitterness anyways? What do we really mean when we say that? I was looking up the definition, and there are lots of words associated with bitterness, such as being distasteful towards someone, such as acting reproachfully, animosity, or part of the definition that I really found interesting was being sour, it said in quotations, sour in one's disposition towards another, whether it be real or imagined. Not the distastefulness, but whatever caused them to be distasteful. There's sometimes people are bitter towards others when the reality is that whatever they thought happened didn't even happen. Right? Maybe you just heard something and it's amazing how quickly one can be friendly to someone and then the next day something happens or something comes into the picture that we're going to talk about some of those cases and you just flip the switch and all of a sudden you just don't like that person anymore. Or you don't like that place anymore, or that situation anymore, or even that church anymore, or even God anymore in some extreme cases. I want to define or picture this word with a story that I read online. There were two monks that were traveling, and this is a serious one. I like to tell jokes, but this is not a joke this time. But two monks were traveling across the countryside, heading to a village to help with some crops, and as they reached a river or a creek there, just wide enough, there was an old lady there that was sitting there. She seemed very frustrated, and the monks came up to her and asked her, "What is it that you're trying to do, ma'am?" And she said, "Well, I'm trying to get across to the other side, but there's no bridge here, and I'm very frustrated." And so these two guys say, "Well, we'll help you across." And so they pick her up, and they help her get across. Now, again, I say monks. This is just a tell online, a hypothetical situation, but or a made-up story, I should say. But these guys carry her for a while, and they set her down on the other side, and she's very gracious to them. And as they begin walking on away, the first monk says, "You know, that was really nice getting to help her out." And the other monk says, well, sure it was. But the second monk says, "I'm my back's starting to hurt. My legs are aggravated. And, you know, that's silly that we had to help that lady across that creek. Why did we have to do that?" And the other monk just was quiet. And they kept walking for four ways. And before long, the second monk, he just sat down and he said, "I'm just hurting all over. I can't believe we had to help that lady out and do that. Right? What a waste of my time. And now I'm suffering because of it." And the other gentleman said, "Do you realize why I'm not upset and you are? Why I'm not complaining and you are?" And he said, "No, why is that?" And the first monk said, "Because I dropped her off 5 miles ago and you're still carrying her." That's what bitterness is. I didn't think that was that funny, but no, that's what bitterness is. It's when you carry that weight. You just keep carrying it with you. You don't let it go. It's something that burdens you, and instead of solving that problem, praying about it, resolving it with the person, whatever it is, or that situation, you just keep carrying it. And it causes you to be bitter. It causes you to hold a grudge, right? You've heard that quote before. No matter how much you nurse a grudge, it won't get better. It won't get better. And a lot of times that's exactly what's happening. What I want to do with this subject is three kind of sections. I want to start with the causes, some common causes of bitterness. Then I want to talk about some issues, some problems that arise because of bitterness. And then I want to talk about, obviously, some solutions, some applications to how we can get rid of bitterness if it is plaguing our lives. What are some causes of bitterness? Why is it that a person would just change their disposition about someone else, about something else? Well, here's maybe three more, I guess, generic ones. There are a lot of things we could detail and get to, but three that hopefully encompass, maybe four, that encompass most of the reasons that one might be bitter. Number one, jealousy. Jealousy can absolutely cause bitterness. I go to James 3 and verse 14, and I read in my Bible that there can be bitter envying and strife. And that it's interesting because in verse 13, he talks about what real wisdom is. And he says, don't let yourself lie against the truth. Don't let yourself really think that real wisdom is to be involved with this bitter envying that you have one for another and the strife that it causes. Jealousy, when you're desiring something that someone else has and it causes you to be distasteful towards that person, to think less of them, to be sour in your disposition towards them. Genesis 27 and verse 34 is where we read of Jacob and Esau. And you remember that Isaac is ready to give the blessing. And Isaac, he's very old in his age. He won't be around much longer. He recognizes that. And it's time to give the blessing to the firstborn. It's time to give the blessing to Esau. But as you recall, Rebekah had a bit of an alternative plan. She decided, as you recall, she put the goat skin upon Jacob's arms and made him to wear the clothes. And so he smelled like and he felt like his brother Esau. And Esau was out hunting, you remember, going to make his father's favorite venison. And she got Jacob a bit of stew that she knew Isaac liked. Take these skins, take this stew, go to Isaac and get this blessing for yourself. And there's a great lesson there, by the way, as you recall, because Isaac had to decide between what he felt and what he heard. He heard Jacob, but he felt Esau. And so he went with his feelings instead of what he heard. Isn't there a great lesson in that? But as the story goes on, that's not our topic tonight, you get to verse 34, and Esau comes back into the picture, and he's ready for the blessing, and he comes to Isaac, I'm going to get these names right in a minute. Esau comes to Isaac, and he says, Isaac, I'm ready for my blessing. And Isaac begins to tremble. The Bible says he's trembling. What? Why is it that I'm hearing Esau right now? I already gave you the blessing. Do you remember what happened? The Bible says that he went out and bitterly cried. He was bitter. And then he goes on to argue with Isaac and explain how Jacob, the Bible says, he supplanted me these two times. He's tricking me twice. He's got away with this now. And we all know, though, it was Esau's fault. He was the one that traded that stew for his birthright to begin with the first time. And now Rebekah is the source, but he's envious. And it causes him to be bitter. That's what jealousy does. It causes you to act out. It causes you to despise someone. And it's a long time before the two of them can make amends. Bitterness can be an awful thing. It can absolutely take over. I don't think by any means that you're upset with your brethren because they went to your parents and stole your inheritance. That's probably, or your blessing. That's probably not the case. What might you be jealous about? Maybe you're upset. You remember what it was like, most of you, and some of you are still very young, and many of you remember what it was like, but when you were dating. I'm talking about before you were married, and you remember ever being jealous about someone because they had that girl that you really liked, guys, or girls, you were jealous of someone because she had that guy that you really wish you could be with. And you know, sometimes even in adults, believe it or not, there is jealousies over appearance and over who a spouse is, and or over who something that you have, and they're driving that car that I wish I had, that real nice vehicle, whatever it is, that Corvette, and there's jealousy, and people end up despising each other over things that we would think about as doing when we were kids, but sometimes even adults, we have a bad attitude about those things, and we're envious, and we we despise them. Maybe it's because they're more popular. You remember that in school? Again, this is happening with adults too. They have way more friends in the church than I do. They're more social. Everybody likes them. And there's a jealousy that stirs, right? Or maybe it's not only their social skills. Maybe it's a guy and it's a talent, or ladies and a talent. I wish I could do that. He does that so well, or she does that so well, and you become jealous about that person. And you just find something that they do wrong. You want to point something out. You want to justify why you despise them so much, right? It's petty, I know, and it's silly, but we can easily, Satan loves to get us involved in that, and in those childish games of jealousy. And it can cause us to be so bitter towards our brethren. And it's sad to despise them and to never even, maybe even know. That person may never even know why you dislike them so much, but you're just bitter towards them because of that envy. Maybe it's not envy, though. That's probably not a major problem here with us. Maybe it's this. I don't know. Maybe it's selfishness. It's easy to be selfish. Every one of us has instilled within us some desire to want to please ourselves. That's just the flesh. That's who we are. I want to be happy. I want to do what makes me happy. And sometimes when we don't get our way, again, you know, I keep associating bitterness with childishness, and it is, and I don't mean to disrespect it, but it really is. It's just like being that kid that just wants to get his way, and we get upset about that. I think of Hannah, and Hannah had a very good reason to be bitter, by the way. It wasn't necessarily justified, but she was bitter in her soul because she didn't have any children, right? That seems like a pretty legitimate reason to be upset, to be discontented. By the way, I didn't mention this earlier, but the biblical definition of bitterness, when you see that word in both the Old and New Testament, is discontentment. That's the biblical definition, the one we care about tonight, by the way. I need to mention that. So here you've got Hannah, and it's not necessarily that she's hating other people, but she's discontent. In the Bible, God wants us to be content with what we have. And there's a moment, and she's weak, and she's discontent, and she's upset. She's bitter in her soul because she doesn't have children. And you remember that prayer. She has that deal that she makes with God, and He blesses her, of course, with that son that she wanted, Samuel. But how many of us are bitter because of that selfishness? You know, I think about that particular case because, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. I have plenty of my own mistakes, but you know, I you know more than anything. I've said it so many times how much I want to be a father. I could be bitter. I could allow myself to be so bitter. There'd be no reason for it, but I could, about the fact that I've yet to be able to have kids, and I want them so bad, and it would be easy to do. Maybe it's something else that could make you bitter. Maybe it's somebody that at your work, and they got that promotion and you didn't. But that's frustrating. And that kind of connects with jealousy a little bit there, doesn't it? And I'm selfish. I wanted that. I deserve that. That should go to me. And it causes us to be bitter towards that person. Maybe it's a role in the church, and it's something that you wanted to do, and somebody else does that instead. Maybe it's something that you really wanted, that like a child, or something else that you wish you could have. Or maybe it's something that you lost, that you did have. And that selfish side of you is mad, and maybe even just bitter at the world. Have you ever known somebody who will go from just the happiest person, the most content person ever, and it's like a week later, they're miserable? What happened to that happy-go-lucky person? Something changed them. Something happened that caused them to be bitter. And it might be connected with this. This is probably the most common reason, and kind of where I'm leading into with this. Experiences. There are things, and I can imagine, some of you have gone through some difficult circumstances. There can be some awful things that happen, and those things could lead one easily to become bitter at life in general, to become bitter at God, to become bitter towards those who are happy. You know, I knew someone who was, and it just happens to be associated with kids again, maybe that's why I remembered it, but this particular young lady was bitter towards any woman that had a child because she didn't. She was really bitter about that, and she really upset about it. And it's not the case anymore, but that can happen. And there are experiences in life, things that could be taken away from us. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the loss of a job, some kind of loss, some kind of hurt, some kind of pain that happened that causes us to just be bitter in general, just to be discontent and unhappy. I don't know anyone that had more of a reason to be bitter than Job. And we've talked about Job before, and I'll remind you, you know, Job, he didn't sin during that particular scene there with the devil and Job's temptations, but sin did come, and Job did end up sinning and making mistakes when you read the entirety of that book. But in Job 10 and verse 1, Job says, I am absolutely bitter in my soul. He lost everything. He lost his servants. He lost his children. He lost all his wealth, his animals that he had, his camel. You remember that their lives were taken from them. And the one thing he kept, his wife, turned against God right before him. I have no doubt that's why Satan left her there. Because she turned, nothing would be worse than seeing your own wife turn against God and discourage you from obeying him right before your eyes. All of that happened, and easily, of course, you could see why Job would become bitter about his life at that time. But we don't experience, I mean, maybe we lose someone, but none of us have gone through that. None of us have lost everything in the same moment, in the same day. There's no way we've been through that. It's just so unlikely. But it happened to Job. Would you be bitter about that? Are you bitter for less than that? Or have you ever been mad at God or mad at the church or just mad at the world because of things that have happened to you? That could be difficult. It could be so difficult. It could be a cause. One other thing that I'll briefly mention, Acts 8 and verse 23 mentions, it's an interesting statement. I was just searching the word bitterness and bitter and things like that in the Bible. And when Simon the sorcerer, you remember he becomes a Christian, he's baptized, he has his sins washed away, and then he wants to purchase the gift of God with money, the ability to pass on the miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Peter says to him, I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and the bond of iniquity. I never really studied that phrase until I was doing this lesson and really thought about what that was. That gall there, of course, is a reference to bile that produced by the liver, that greenish yellow yummy fluid. That he says you're surrounded by it. You're in the bile of bitterness. You're completely covered in bitterness because of your sin. That bitterness is depicted as a poison, like sin. And so he's describing him as being covered in that sin. And sin can cause us to be in the bonds of iniquity. The same idea. You're covered in it. You're controlled by it. Right, you're shackled by it. It's the bond. It's the gall of bitterness. An interesting statement. But sin could also cause us to be bitter when you think about it. The mistakes that we make and guilt and those things could cause us to hate ourselves, to be bitter at ourselves and lie. But I want to make this a little more practical. Let's talk about some of the problems that arise, and then I want to get to the solutions. Maybe bitterness has been involved in your life for one of those reasons. Maybe it's something I didn't mention. But here's why this is so serious. Two very simple reasons that this is such a problem. Number one, bitterness is an issue because, number one, it is private. Now this is going to be kind of strange to you because my two points here are that it's both private and public. But let me explain what I mean by that. Look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14 and verse 10. Bitterness is one of those things that, again, like a root, it's hidden almost under the earth. It's hidden under the surface, and it's just not going to be obvious to those to which a person is not bitter towards. Look at Proverbs 14:10. The heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. An interesting passage. The heart knows his own bitterness. And as I was reading that verse, it kind of hit me. You know, if let's say you're bitter towards an individual. Let's say that Billy Joe Bob is bitter towards Sally Sue, right? The one person, and probably the only person that knows that Billy Joe Bob has bitterness in his heart is Sally Sue. But guess what? Sally Sue is not the one that's going to be able to come to Billy Joe Bob, and am I confusing you, and make this right, right? In other words, the person that you're bitter towards may be the only person that knows you have bitterness. Because a bitter person just that's bitter towards an individual probably won't be bitter to everybody in that particular instance or case. Some are bitter towards the world. I'm not talking about that right now. But when you're bitter towards a person, that person may be the only one that knows you are, and they can't come and talk to you about it because you're mad at them. So what do you do? It's a problem because it can be rooted and nobody knows about it. Nobody can help you with that and encourage you because it's hidden inside. It's rooted in the ground underneath the surface, and nobody knows to get in there and to pull those roots out for you to help you out with that. But at the same time, in other cases, when you are bitter at the world or at the church or just in general, it is going to be public and it's going to be an issue. Hebrews 12:15 that I quoted at the beginning of the lesson, at the end of that verse, did you notice he says, and many thereby will be defiled. When you are bitter towards the world or bitter at yourself or you're bitter in general, discontent, what's going to happen is you're going to affect others. right? You're going to bring others down with you instead of uplifting them. Look at Proverbs 6 and verse 19. If you're still in Proverbs. Proverbs 6 and verse 19. Speaking of this, this is in the list. You remember there's a lot of poetic language, of course, as it is poetry, that you're reading through Proverbs, and you see phrases like, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him." It's a poetic phraseology there. But it's seven entities here that God absolutely despises. And in that list, the seventh one, the very last one, in verse 19, is "He that soweth discord among brethren." You know the person who's going to be more apt to do that, who's going to be apt to sow discord and to cause problems and complain, is a person that's discontent, is a person that's bitter about the way their life is going, bitter about whatever happened to them, whatever was said about them, and is taking that out on those around them. God hates, as much as He hates hands that shed innocent blood in the text here, as much as He hates that, He hates sowing discord. Brethren can really be pulled down by that, can really be affected by that, and they may end up being bitter as well because of that negative attitude. And that's so very serious. I've got to get to the solution here. Let's jump to the conclusion of the matter. How do we resolve this? How do we fix it? And by the way, I do want to mention this. I was talking to someone, and she's not here today. They're out of town. They're in Georgia right now, but she was talking to me about having a snake outside of her house, and she mentioned that snake got so angry or so irritated or frustrated, whatever it was, that snake bit itself. And I did some research on that, and I didn't know this, but a snake, if you corner it, it'll get so upset that it'll end up biting itself. And you think, that's ridiculous. Why would a snake bite? But you know, that's what we're getting at with this idea of bitterness. The reason it's such a problem is because you're not really hurting anybody but you. You're going to bring others down with you. Don't misunderstand me. But you know, I saw a quote. The reason, he says, don't hold a grudge, because the person you're holding a grudge against, while you're holding that grudge, he or she's out dancing. Right, I saw that quote. In other words, you're upset, you're holding a grudge, and you're beating yourself up about whatever it was, and you're mad at them. They don't even know it. They're out just enjoying things, and you're beating yourself up. You're bringing yourself down because of that bitterness. And then you're going to end up taking others down with you. You're like that snake, in other words, that bites itself. Right? You're not going to do any good being bitter. You're not going to help yourself. It's not going to make things better for you to be discontented and to have that bad attitude. It's only going to get worse. How do I solve it? Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Let's start with the obvious statement, and then we'll talk about how you do it. Ephesians chapter 4. I told you that it's interesting how often the Bible discusses a contrast between kindness and bitterness. I want you to notice it here. Just one example that we'll make mention of. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. The very end of the chapter. Read it with me. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Let all that bitterness and all these other things, let it be done away." Notice verse 32. "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know how you're going to be kind this year to those around about you? You've got to get rid of that anger. You've got to get rid of that malice. You've got to get rid of that bitterness that you might be harboring towards those around you, towards your brethren, towards your family, towards somebody at work, whoever it is. Doesn't matter if it's a Christian or not that you're bitter toward. Bitterness is something that's going to cost you more than you're ready to spend. Look at Titus chapter 3. Let's turn to this one as well. I didn't have you turn a lot at the beginning, so we'll do some catching up. Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Titus 3, verse 3. Again, read it with me. Titus 3, verse 3. "For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." But notice verse 4. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared." There was a time when you hated each other, that you were bitter, but there was something that countered that. There was something that came that contrasted that. And when you saw that, and you recognized that, and you embodied that, oh, you got rid of that bitterness. What is it that replaces bitterness? What is it that's going to fill that void, that should fill that void? It's that kindness. Look at it again, verse 4. "After that, the kindness and love of God." There's not a coincidence that these writers that Paul, especially here in these two cases, is saying that the opposite of bitterness, the replacement for bitterness, and what's going to make it better, is to be kind. Sure, it's going to help you if people are kind to you, but it's also going to help you to put that foot forward and to be kind to others. And that'll push that bitterness out of there. It's amazing the power of kindness and what it will do for us if we practice it in our lives. But you say, well, preacher, how do I really do that? Well, for one, bitterness is, it's really in the mind, isn't it? It's harboring something mentally. You're thinking about the negative of that person. You're focused on what they had that you don't have. You're focused on what they said that upset you. You're focused on the negative aspect of that. So how am I going to counter that? How am I going to be kind to them? Well, you've got to focus on the positive, right? Of course, Philippians 4, 8 and 9. If there's any virtue, if there's anything that's worthy of praise, these things that are honest, these things that are good report, this, all of these good things, he says, think on these things. That's what I've got to focus on. Could you imagine, think about it for a minute, could you imagine how much happier you would be as an individual, how much happier I would be, all of that would be, if we focused always on the good things in life? I mean, think about it. If we always focused on the good, we'd never have a bad moment, would we? But sometimes we let those things go. We forget all the good. One bad can just kind of throw out all the good sometimes for us. Because we let it. We let that one bad take over. It's like putting a drop of dye in a pure glass of water, and it just spreads and it takes over the whole glass. That's what bitterness is. It's just that one drop that you let in, and it just ruins all the good. It discolors the entirety of the heart. We've got to remember Romans 8:28. We quote it, we talk about it all the time, but we've got to remember it and believe it. All things work together for good. For them that love God, that are the called according to His purpose. In other words, everything that happens, it may have been a bad experience, but God can take that experience and He can make good of that. He can use it according to His plan. You may not like what He does. It may not be part of your plan, but He can take that lost loved one that you lost, that hurtful action that took place, that injury, that statement, whatever it was that happened, He can make good of that situation. But you've got to think about that and focus on that good will come from it, and trust that it will. It's up here, isn't it? One more thought here, and I'll leave you be as my time will be expired. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. Not Hebrews, I'm sorry, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, a little different there. I was thinking, what was I going to Hebrews 3? Habakkuk 3, that makes more sense. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 beginning. Habakkuk was going through a difficult time. Again, probably a more difficult time than many of us will ever have to endure. The world around him was crumbling. And in many ways, we could make comparisons. But verse 17, he says, although the fig tree shall not blossom. I want you to notice his attitude and think about our attitude as we're trying to get rid of bitterness. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. That sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? Yet, verse 18, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Habakkuk, how in the world, in such a difficult time, can you not be bitter? How can you still be rejoicing and be joyful and be content? Verse 19, he says, I recognize, if you will, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places. Friends, Habakkuk understood something, that God would see him through it, and that he could always rejoice in that. It's easy. I know preachers say that. We say it. It's easy to say. It's easier to talk about than to practice. I know that. But we don't just say it because it's something fun to say. It's true. If you can always focus upon God and what you do have, and how that person is a soul that might have upset you, or how that church is trying to bring souls to heaven as they want to, or that experience that happened could be brought about for good, and you focus on that, you can still find joy in very, very difficult situations. It's not that you won't ever be sad or mourn, but you won't allow that sadness to turn to bitterness, to ruin you, to pull you away from what is right and what is good, to pull you away from being that kind brother or sister that you and I ought to be towards our brethren and towards every person, whether a child of God or not. Something else I want to say, but I'm gonna go ahead and stop here. But I hope that in some way this will encourage all of us to focus more on being that kind person and not harboring that bitterness, holding that grudge. It's amazing. It's something that's so easily done to just have a little grudge in there that can turn into something so much more. Think about positive things. Focus on that and rejoice in God. And may God bless you for that. At this time, you have the opportunity to obey the gospel. The most important part of this lesson, a chance to make things right with God. It may be that you're a child of God and there's been bitterness in your life lately. You've been upset at someone, something, maybe even upset with God. And you've let your life reflect that through angry words, through a poor disposition of spirit and mind, making decisions you ought not. Friends, go to God and find that contentment in Him right now. Lean upon Him. And we would love to assist you, to encourage you. Again, it's a root under the surface, and we won't know unless you tell us. We want to help you any way that we can and encourage you. Maybe you've never become a Christian. You can do that also tonight. To begin a new life, and it's an abundant life. It's a life that's full of joy, being blessed by God Almighty every day. It's a life that you want to take part in. You can do that with belief in Jesus as the Son of God, repentance of sin, a mental, by the way, there's that mind again, it's a decision. I'm not going to live in sin anymore, not willfully. I'm going to turn away from it and do my best to walk on that straight and narrow path. Luke 13:3, we've got to repent and confess with our mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, that something you're going to do for the rest of your life if you're faithful to Him. And to be buried in baptism. The water's ready. There's clothes to change into. There's towels to dry off with. There's no reason not to right now at this moment to become a child of God, to have all your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, by His grace, because of what He did for you. He's going to do the circumcising, Colossians 2:11-13. He's the one that's going to remove the filth of the flesh, the sin of your life, but you've got to make the decision to allow Him to. Once you become a child of God or come back to God tonight, right now, if the need be, while we stand and while we sing.